Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
Lost a little honey on the lone highway. Left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway.
Wind is blowing cold and dark. On the road and no way out. Broken hearts and smoking guns. On the run.
Night of the fight, you may feel a slight sting. That's pride. Pride only hurts. It never helps. You fight through that, your ass goes down. Say it.
My ass goes down.
A year from now, when you're kicking it in the Caribbean, you're gonna say to yourself,
woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil sends the beast with wrath, because he knows the time is short. Understanding, reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. Its number is 666.
My name's Jimmy. The moment of truth has finally arrived. It's December 14th, 2020.
Obviously, very disturbing live shot there.
Please stop to pay this
telephone,
please.
It's
10 minutes
past
10.
Why are you still up? Political and religious leaders that have shocked this city over the
Hello?
Last month.
Hello?
Suddenly, as they began. No.
Perhaps you need another shot.
Responsibility for the slaying. But police have a suspect in custody under observation at State Hospital.
To do it?
Identity is being held pending further investigation. Sports and weather. Now.
Sweet dreams, you bastard.
I remember now. I remember how it started. I can't remember yesterday. I just remember doing. what they told me.
I think we're about to start seeing some heads roll. Mine's Jimmy. Hey, I'm your friendly announcer right here, revolution.radiofreedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio network on the face of the earth, in the plane, in the filter bubble, and beyond, ladies and gentlemen, for the next 2 hours. We're going to sit here, and we're going to take on some of what's happening. And to help me do that, my good friend, my good buddy, the man, the myth, the legend, who exists every day right here on revolution.radiofreedomslips.com in the morning, McDonald in the morning, my good friend, Bruce McDonald. Bruce, welcome into the microcosm. Apparently you've gotten small enough to get through the door, and welcome.
Thanks, man. Nice to be here.
Hey, man, you know, we've reached this we've reached the crescendo moment, apparently. In case people haven't heard, Biden has reached 302 delegates, putting him over the top as far as the system is concerned. And so now we find ourselves in a precarious situation, don't we, Bruce?
Yes. I don't know which end is up anymore, Jimmy. I don't. I still feel in my gut, and I'm still staking Trump. I think I know it's a real Hail Mary at this point, but I don't see him leaving the White House. And I hope he gets a second term, because I don't want to be – oh, it's going to be so bad, man. Biden, Harris, Trudeau waiting in Canada, Macron waiting. The whole international – reformation of the world is going to take place, right? Now, I was listening to Deacon John before your show. They were talking about Chinese troops. And I'm sorry, I know you didn't bring up this topic and it's your show, but I got a comment or two.
No.
So there's this...
Go ahead. Everything's open today, man. It's an open show. As a matter of fact, I'm even going to open the lines a little bit later, take some calls. But go ahead. Please get into that. I'd like to get into that some.
Okay. Now, there's I don't know what to make of this. My gut says no. Okay? Because, look, I grew up in Ottawa, the nation's capital. I mean, on my hockey teams, the fathers were either civil servants or career military officers. That's what it's like growing up in a capital city, because the Department of Defense is in Ottawa, just like the Pentagon is in Washington, right? It is in Washington, right? Yeah. And the closeness between the American and the Canadian troops would make it almost impossible for Chinese troops to be in Canada now doing operations on American soil without it being known, without it being leaked by a credible source, okay? But that's the good news. Here's the bad news. Justin Trudeau has a very special relationship with China. And the reason is his father is the guy that opened up China. Pierre Elliott Trudeau was the first foreign leader to go into the Hermit Kingdom after the Cultural Revolution. China was completely closed off. It was like beyond, and we never talked about it much, because back then everything was focused on the Soviet Union, and Chinese communism and Russian communism were extremely antagonistic. So we weren't paying attention to this part of the world. Let me bring the listeners up to speed, okay? China lived in virtual isolation for a long, long time. Long, long time. And then that isolation was broken by Pierre Elliott Trudeau. The namesake father, because I don't think he's the biological father. I think Fidel Castro is actually Justin Trudeau's biological father. And I'm not a conspiracist. Let's just leave that alone. By name and by title, Justin Trudeau is the son of Pierre Elliott Trudeau. Pierre Elliott Trudeau is the guy that went in for the first meeting. Second meeting was Kissinger. But the first people, because Americans are so egocentric, they think everything big and important happens in America. In this deep world, this deep state, this cultic world that runs us of high politics, bloodline, and all this crap we talk about on Rev Radio, believe me when I tell you, Canada has contributed some star players to that have done more for the global push to this global governance, this new world order, than Daddy Bush, than a lot of them. But it's quiet. It's off stage. People don't notice. Justin Trudeau was called Little Potato in China because of China's endearing relationship and fondness for his father, Pierre Elliott Trudeau. So if ever there was going to be a sitting prime minister that would do something like this with the Chinese and attack America, it would be this prime minister. But how he could get all of the senior generals and all of the senior staff at DOD to go along with this, the Canadian military, I just don't see it. I'm not willing to accept it. And, you know, but there's weird stuff going on, okay? There's the incident in Michigan, and there's another one over on the East Coast. Now, I've spoken to people through Facebook chat, Canadian friends who live there. They say a deep underground military base was blown up, and all of my friends living in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick do report a mild earthquake the day they say that dump was blown up. So, Jimmy, I don't know what's going on. I'm just throwing spaghetti against the wall here. But, I mean, the idea that the Chinese have reached such a state of audacity that they would be staging military incursions into American soil from the Canadian border, I mean, how does that strike you? How does that hit your ears? Plausible, implausible, fantastical, crazy?
Well, the source, Hal Turner.
Yeah.
He's an FBI informant, so... He was involved in the white supremacist movement. He's an FBI informant. I don't need to look down at Hal Turner's information to try to make it something going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, there's going on as it is. I mean, you know, the situation has presented itself now, and so I'm pretty sure what Trump said was if the delegates came forth for Biden, he would concede. So I think that's pretty much what came out of his own mouth. So I'm waiting here for Biden to come out. He's about to come out, and he'll come out while we're on the air. When he does, I'm definitely going to make sure we forward this information as it comes. So I'm waiting to see. I just see on most of the boards, most of the forums, people are still trying to, you know, piece together some way, you know, it's going to happen. And realistically, at this point, the only way it's going to happen is if Trump moves to a position that everybody accused him of being in the first place. So at this point... Yeah. The only way that it's going to stop is if he stops it with the military, or he stops it with insurrection, or he stops it some other way. Because
he can't really do that, though. He can't. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the balls to do that, he would become the caricature, the self-fulfilling prophecy of the caricature the left says he is.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that would be civil war. And then I think you would risk... I don't think the world would stand for that. I think everybody would put economic sanctions on the United States. And look, it's you know, I can't see him going that route. But I do believe he's going to get a second term. And I don't know why I believe that. It's just intuition, okay? It's just my gut. I do believe he's going to get a second term. Columnist Canada, really, really. It's funny because on Trump's way out, on his way out, he's probably getting the most fair coverage he's ever gotten from the mainstream media, at least internationally. The Canadian press is all over the subjugation of the Hunter Biden story 2 weeks before the election and the implications that Joe Biden was dirty and owned by the Chinese. This is a big story in the Canadian press now. Our newspapers are writing about it. And the reason is the FBI, after the election, the FBI announced it. Yeah, we're investigating the guy criminally. Now, it could be criminal, IRS criminal, like deliberate fraud, hiding funds. I mean, you can go criminal on a statute like the tax code. But I think it's more serious than that. So I don't know, Jimmy. I don't see how this guy can take office. I mean, if you thought, what's it going to be like? You know, it's like whoever occupies that office now is going to have to become a strongman, because even Joe Biden, to get the respect of America, and is going to have to get tough on the right. He's going to have to crack down, right? He's going to have to become a little tyrannical. But this is really bad. And it's not just Biden getting into the White House. It's the whole international astrology of leaders now. Okay, so that you got Justin Trudeau, perfect deep state stooge. They have all their players lined up to get this great reset done. Like, it'll be done in 12 months or 24 months if Joe Biden takes office. And his first act, you know, official memorandum from the office of President-elect Joe Biden, his very first act on his first day as president is going to be to sign the Paris Climate Accord. You know, one of the problems with alternative media is a lot of the hosts don't actually do their homework. And I can say that out loud on this show, because you do your homework, Jimmy. You do the research. You read the primary documents. I ask anybody to at least read a cogent 30-page précis, somebody else's write-up on what the Paris Climate Accord represents for American industry. It's unnecessarily punitive towards the United States. Let me put it to you this way. International contracts and agreements are done now within the framework of retroactive reparations. So the Paris Climate Accord was negotiated on the understanding that America had benefited by being the first into the industrial game, and a lot of the material wealth in that country was because of this. And I quote, throwing aside social and cultural evolution and the innovation and work ethic of the American people, an unfair advantage to America. Right? This is the same sort of logic that wants to throw money at black people who can maybe say their great-great-great-great-great-grandmother was a slave. Right? And penalize the entire American population despite the fact that a very small percentage, like 1 in 1,000 Americans own slaves. Very few people own slaves. So why should an entire race have to pay for that? Isn't that the same thing as saying every black guy is a rapist, a pimp, and a drug dealer? I mean, why are we all responsible for slavery because of the cost? Sorry, I'm not, a bit of a rant today on your show. This is worse than my mortgage.
Yeah. No, it's good because it's afternoon and it's prime time, man. And this is, people are listening and people want to know what the hell's going on.
That's the context of the Paris climate. Look at Canada. We are mathematically impossible of paying back the debt that Trudeau has created for us in the last 24 months to deal with COVID. Any economist will tell you it is mathematically impossible to amortize this mortgage, this national debt that Trudeau has created. You know what he announced today? Another $1 billion to buy of Canadian taxpayer money. We're only a country of 34 million people, Jimmy. We're not that big. California has more people than Canada. $1 billion, Jimmy, which is about 750 million US dollars to pay for COVID vaccines in poor countries. Like, and this is what, why am I telling you this? This is what's waiting for you as Americans. Everybody is going to be put ahead of you because you develop more quickly and it's time to let these other countries catch up.
Let's rise above the noise a little bit, man. Let's rise above the noise just a little. And let's look down at North America. And let's take a look at the new world, the world where Asia is rising and the Belt and Road Project is coming online. And you have the West Coast connected directly to Canada there in a good way. You can move goods and services, you know, either way up and down. So, and you've got Mexico down here at the other end. So you have a clear corridor for the Belt and Road up to the China facility. Up there, you also have, and I think people should maybe start remembering this. There used to be an old conspiracy theory out there called the North American Union, you know, and they were going to have the Amero, and they were building a super highway from Mexico because China bought the port down in Mexico, and it's going to be this big. You know, I think it's time for people to really come to terms with exactly how much money is invested in our country from China and other foreign investors. Because I think if you were to really go take a look at it, you might find out that China probably owns the majority of the United States already, legally, by buying businesses and buying property and all the things that they do. They don't have to come in here with an army through up there because there's an army of people that are already here. They live here.
Breaking news, Jimmy. U.S. Attorney General William Barr has just resigned. Okay? So do you realize that the insult – he's basically pulling a Bolton. This is what John Bolton did, right? You know, I mean – for a guy who said he was going to go into Washington and clean up the swamp, he brought the swamp right into the Oval Office. Like, it's really kind of mind-boggling.
This is one of the things, man, all through this whole Trump presidency that I've been saying is that Mr. You're Fired hasn't been very good at firing people. He fires people, but it's never the people that should be fired. It's always somebody else that you never heard of, and they said something or whatever. You don't even know who they were. All of a sudden, they got fired. Okay, why isn't he firing the people? Why didn't he fire Sessions? Why didn't he fire Comey? Why didn't he fire Barr? Why didn't he fire any of these people? Especially if I show you forensic evidence that there's been something going on in America with my election. And you're the head of the FBI, and you blow me off publicly and say there was nothing, and you still got a job. And because if you got evidence, brother, that dude should have dropped a hammer on his ass right then and there. But apparently, didn't have the hammer to drop. I still have not. I don't care. Look, there's a lot of accusations. There's a lot of evidence or whatever. I still have not seen the unequivocal forensic evidence of electronic manipulation, because that will bring down the whole world. The whole world uses the same system to get their people in office. That's how they get people in office. They're not going to let that get destroyed.
I do have a feeling that, and pardon the pun, there is a Trump card here. I don't know what it is, but I just have a feeling he's way too quiet. I mean, Trump, if Trump felt this was over and he was really leaving the White House, man, he'd be doing press conferences every day, dumping everything he knows. Do you realize who's coming in after me? Do you realize who you just elected? This is the one thing he's allowed himself the entire 4 years of his term. And that is free self-expression. And we haven't seen that since November 3rd. So I don't believe this is over. Because we'd either hear it from him, or he'd be making public statements, right? But, it's just really weird the way the whole thing was handled. And it wasn't good to bottle everything up into the election. You know, he should have had some court cases beyond Nvixium and Ghislaine Maxwell going forward that really made the case, the stuff he was talking about in 2016. You have no idea who these people are. Okay, man, you got 4 years. Show us. But he showed it. Do you realize we don't have a single real shred of proof? And this is why this is so bad, Jimmy. It's bad because Trump represented a high water crest mark for public discussion of some of this really kind of diabolical stuff that's going on that really only the alternative media talks about. With him gone, we're not going to be able to talk about it anymore publicly. You had your chance. Why didn't you do anything about it? Because your guy lied. He just told you that nonsense to get into office, and he had other reasons he wanted to be president, or the people who backed him did. And we're never going to be able to talk about this again. And that's pretty disturbing when you consider the child trafficking and everything that's going on in this world. And when you consider that Pizzagate is probably 100% true. I mean, that Alafontis, these people can't hide. It's right in his name. Enfant means child in French, right? And he changed his name, too. So,
and the thing is, too, is if they checkmate everything on Q, so if everything was riding on what Q was saying... So Q was saying that Trump's going to win. So if Trump doesn't win, that means Q wasn't right about that. And that means he was also wrong about everything else. Yes. And that's what they'll use to point at to say that all those accusations were bullshit. Now, accusations are accusations, man. Until it's in a court of law and someone gets to defend themselves, no one knows. So all these accusations are alleged accusations. And there's never been an answer from anyone. Yeah. He's been accused on any of this stuff simply because. Go ahead.
Now, let me ask you this.
We're almost at the break, bro. We're at 3:26. Ladies and gentlemen, we're fully listener supported. Head on over, become a patron. Studio A, Studio B, 48 hours a day. A viewpoint for everyone. My name's Jimmy. It's Into the Microcosm. I'm here with Bruce McDonald. He's here every Monday through Friday. 7 a.m. Pacific to 7 a.m. Pacific till 9 Pacific, and stop in and visit. He's been on the Great Reset, and I think if you had tuned in to Bruce's show, you would know for sure that it is not a conspiracy theory. There is a Great Reset, and the reason that they're spending all this money is because when they do the Great Reset, they're going to eliminate those quadrillions of derivatives and all the money they spent leading up until this point. We'll be right back.
See it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drink themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it, done.
Revolution Radio. Where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Oh, please, oh, come on, hi, Karl Marx here. I am all seriousness today, my friends. There is this show you must not listen to. The Ultimate Remedy with this guy, LB. This guy has figured me out. I hear it on Tuesday, and he is telling the truth. I mean lies. Stay away from this guy. Where's my good hairbrush? Anybody see my mama?
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
It's too late to fall in love with Sharon Tate. But it's too soon to ask me for the words I want called on my tune. I think it's time that y'all start to think about getting by without that need to go out and find somebody to love.
Jimmy, it's Revolution Radio. I'm sitting here getting back to reality with my good buddy Bruce McDonald. Bruce McDonald, are you there?
I am here, yes.
Excellent. Well, yeah, so back to reality. So, you know, there's always hope, you know, there's always hope. And I'm not here to take away anybody's hope, but I mean, I'm a bit realistic for myself, and I, you know, I've heard a lot of people over the last 4 years making up a whole bunch of stuff of what they think's going on in another man's head, these dreamy fairy tales, of what's going on in another man's head, based on how they feel. So like when someone's looking at me, I got a black hat on. But I think I'm wearing a white hat. So the easiest thing, now Nixon came in and did a bunch of stuff, and there were a lot of the same arguments going on that are going on now. Communism was a big one. That was the big enemy that was thrown up there, the dirty hippie commies. And then you had all the old World War II vets and, you know, people getting pissed off. You know, bottom line, though, is that for me, if I was to imagine what might be going on in another man's head, my imaginings might be a little different than what other people think. And what I think is, if I was imagining what's going on in his head, what I'd be thinking is, huh, well, so if I go away, I don't resign like Nixon did, but he did everything just like Nixon and did all the things he was supposed to do. But he doesn't resign in the end. In the end, it was stolen from him. And he goes out not looking too bad. He can go out. He can come back in 2024. He can start the Trump News Network. There's a lot of options open to him. But from what I'm hearing right now, doesn't look like people are going to let him leave peacefully. So it looks like people are on the Russian mafia tip, and they're looking to go after him for other things when he's not in office. So he's got a.
You're in my mind. That was my question at the 26th minute of the first quarter. That's exactly what I was going to lead into. What do you do with a wild card like Trump? You know, in a lot of ways, he may be more dangerous out of office. What if he decides to write a tell-all book or something, right? They have a major problem on their hands with this guy now, right? And you got to wonder, how are they going to deal with that problem? I'm hearing whispers and rumors of investigations already. One I heard of was an investigation by the Department of Justice into pardon for bribe. You know, so he was being paid to pardon people, right? So they're going to do everything they can to besmirch this guy's name. And understand that the left, they feel about this guy the way I feel about Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden and Barack Obama, that they're baby-killing monsters, and that if the world knew who and what they really are, they'd be shocked. That's what the left feels about Donald Trump. How do I know that? Well, let's just say I get a lot of people communicating to me on Facebook, you know, and I have a lot. I don't politicize my friends. Like, you can be my friend and not be a conservative at this time in political history. And I don't think you should do that, because it cuts you off from the other side's thinking, and that's bad. But they really think this guy's bad. I mean, like, really bad. Like, you know, like Hannibal Lecter bad. I'll read you one little missive I got just the other day, if I can find it. Oh, yeah, here it is. I won't tell you who's this from, but... The Republicans fired a very serious shot at the United States yesterday, and the nation had better fire back. The Republican Party was destroyed by egotist Donald John Trump, now known as the Trumplican Party cult. And like all cults, its glassy-eyed members follow dear leader's words just like they did Hitler's, without question. Trump's sociopathic behavior is about to be fully exposed. Fasten your seatbelt. It's amazing how her last two lines they sound exactly like Hijacker, but Hijacker is saying it about completely different people. Like, this is what astounds me about this political dynamic, Jimmy. I keep using the same metaphor. It's like a twister that it just keeps going up into the air. It's like breaking the atmosphere now, going into space. Because the competing forces of the two winds in opposite directions, neither one can win, and it just keeps going up and up and up and up, right? Well, how could so many people be so wrong? Somebody has to be wrong. Either we are or they are, or it's a little from our side and a little from their side. But the gap between the two sides now is like your guy is a baby killer. I won't be happy till I see his head beat in with a baseball bat on live TV. Right? That both sides are at the same point now. It's amazing.
Well, it's no accident either. The thing about it is, brother, is that all the things that I hear people saying right now and over the past month since this election is everything that I heard the other side saying when Hillary lost the last time.
Yeah.
The thing that makes this different is that I don't think people mind the stealing so much if their guy is the guy that wins. And so, like, for example, when Bush stole the election from Gore and Bush stole the election from Kerry both times, nobody seemed to have a problem with that. That was okay. It's like Giuliani's okay now because he's saying what I want to hear. It's okay. It's like pulling out of context Bible verses out to make what I'm saying out of the Bible the word of God. When I don't read the other two right above it and below it, and it's out of context, it don't mean shit.
Yeah. You know?
Listen. These people are script readers. They act out the plan that's already going to happen. That's it.
Yeah.
Period. Because it doesn't matter. Look, Trump goes, you know, Trump said today he's not on the schedule to take the vaccine. So the savior of humanity is offering up our vaccines. Is everybody, you know, Trump supporters ready to roll up their sleeves and head on down? Get your vaccination?
So what does that mean? He's not on the schedule? He's not getting it himself?
He's not getting it. Neither is the president of Pfizer. President of Pfizer sold half his stock. Vice president said it's not a pandemic, no reason to even take the vaccine. And that doesn't sound like some people that are going to make billions of dollars off some vaccine. to me.
This is why I like talking to you, Jimmy. You bring me facts I haven't heard. That is amazing. That's bona fide. The president and VP of Pfizer have said those things. The president's not getting the shot himself, and the VP said it isn't even a pandemic.
Yeah, Pfizer. Yeah, and the president of the United States said he wasn't on the schedule to take the vaccine. So the thing is that here he is. I mean, you know, he's saving humanity or whatever. He's rolling up sleeves. The military says they stick. You know what we do? We stick needles in arms, Bruce. We stick needles in arms. Now let me just give you a little bit of play by play that I the other night I did a stream on my show on YouTube. And what I was streaming was the D.C. protests. Okay, so I got a lot to report from watching this, man. And I think everybody should pay attention to what I got to offer on it. Because what I was watching was somebody that was with the Proud Boys. So these Proud Boys would be the ones that, you know, people might align with as far as the groups that are out in the street protesting. I would say that conservative folk would probably align more with the Proud Boys than they do with Antifa or Black Lives Matter. Would you agree? More of a Proud Boys thing. It's like they're Trump supporters. They were carrying flags. You know, they had MAGA hats on. They were marching around Washington, and they were trying to confront Antifa, and they were walking around yelling, F Antifa, F Antifa. So, I mean, I watched it for about 3 hours. It's on my channel. You can go see it if you want to. But in the course of watching it, though, this is what I want to bring up. Some dude went psycho, and he was an Antifa guy, but he was inside the Proud Boys group. So there's in this group of 1,000 people, you're under the impression everybody you're there with is on your team, but the fact of the matter is there's no difference between those two groups except for the shit they're yelling about. Go ahead, Bruce. Go ahead. This guy stabbed somebody in the face.
Yeah. It's like psychotic, right, as they get fixed in this position. Of course, it's not the end of the world. It's just not the ideal outcome we wanted, right? I mean, if the Biden presidency takes foot, well, things are going to change. But there's, you know, the human race has overcome all kinds of things, right? I'm not quite down. You go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, they're calling for civil war, and people are picking sides. And I'm saying I don't resonate. Listen, I'm on the right side, okay? I'm a conservative thinking person, man, but I would never align myself with those fools that I saw down there. And let me just tell you, I'm a trained observer. I picked out every single person and every single person that was working in that crowd that was military. So there's people in there, man. This is literally, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, if something breaks out, stay out of it. Because listen,
so Jimmy,
go ahead.
Let's break this down like a circus tent after the last ticket's been sold. What do we think has happened here? Or what is happening here? Are these people just way smarter than us and we get distracted by details over a 4-year presidential term and they're like 4 floors above it looking down from the veranda going, stupid fools? Like, what was the point of Trump in these last 4 years? So are we saying, and I might be to be the first to answer my own question, that the American people have been deliberately driven to this point, like herded like cattle, like some force wants them to turn on each other and attack each other?
There's not a doubt in my mind. There is not doubt in my mind. That the social engineering that's been done. Listen, I swear it. If you go to both, you go to either side and listen to what someone has to say, it's equally, just like you said earlier, there's no difference. It's black and white, man. It's literally black and white. There is no gray areas. So it's like you say something against Trump, It's to the point where people have invested so much of their life over the last 4 years, 24 hours a day, wondering what Trump's doing. What's Trump tweeting? What's Trump doing? What did Trump say? Did Trump reveal the secrets? Is Trump getting JFK Jr.? Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody's so invested in Trump that if you say something against Trump, it's like they take it personally. Like it's them that you're saying it about. Look, if somebody stole this election, it ain't grandma next door who voted for Biden. Okay, it's none of the people that you know. It's nobody. It's the people in a position to make that happen. And the people in the position is the enemy of the people, because the people want a fair and honest system. And if there's corruption, it don't matter what side of the aisle they're on. We should all be saying, no, no, this doesn't fly with us, man. This doesn't fly. But, you know, we'll see what's going to happen. You know, I mean, at this point, what can make it go the other way? We're still waiting. Biden's going to come, supposedly he's going to come on at 4:30 to make his talk or whatever. So we'll
your
see.
Your time.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. So Bruce, so these groups. Now, the thing about it is there's no one side and the other. Because, like, when you really look at it, so here's your right side and here's your left side. Now, under the right side, there's not just one monolithic right. Within that right, there's right extremists. There's different groups all within that are all doing their own command and control. One side, one person doesn't know what the other person's doing. Same thing on the other side. It's not just one left. There, however many micro groups there are to be worried about socially and politically correctness, there's just that many groups with people over there with guns that are just pissed off and ready to go off. So there's no way to know who your enemy even is. That's the thing that really occurred to me the biggest when I was watching this demonstration to me. The thing that was the most glaring to me and obvious is that there's no way to tell the sides. One guy, you could be Antifa with a black rag over your face and go around the corner and pull a MAGA hat out of your thing and go join the Proud Boys.
Yeah. It's almost like the Walking Dead, Jimmy. Like there's a line you cross where it doesn't matter whether you were coming from Antifa or the Proud Boys when you started. You're just a zombie now. You're just a zombie.
Yeah, the only thing. Yeah, the only difference between the two is what they're yelling about.
Yeah.
You know, and what's really funny is you got one group of people that's willing to go kill another group of people to hang on to their $9 an hour slave jobs and not allow universal income or socialized medicine. They're willing to go kill people so you can't have universal income. It makes no sense. The thing is that's what's such a – I mean, that's what's so – It's such a conglomeration, because on the one hand you have a group called Antifa, which is anti-fascist action. Okay, that group means something different in Europe than it does in America. It's a different group. It's a different thing. But I'm not saying it's good or bad. But what I am saying is, isn't everybody against fascism? I mean, is somebody who's anti-fascist all of a sudden your enemy? I mean, aren't you against fascism? Wait, what are you saying? You want fascism? That's what I don't understand. So they have these enemies set up against each other that are actually for the same thing, except they're in groups thinking they're against each other. So there's no way that you can come together and understand and come together as a giant mob of people saying we want something, because we've been divided into these micro-aggressive groups that actually have the same goals in mind, but we're fighting against each other, keeping us from getting what it is we want, right?
Yeah.
We're fighting against each other over these issues that we all want the same thing. And they've gotten to this point. Now it's the boiling point. So you have this dude now in this demonstration, the cameraman that I was watching, Alex Jones all of a sudden showed up in the middle of the Proud Boys demonstration.
In
Washington, D.C. Yeah. And right next to him was Owen, his buddy. And Alex came out with a bullhorn and sat out there with his big giant beer belly hanging down, giant gut, screaming into a bullhorn. He looked like he was at some kind of a rally. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it looked super. I couldn't hear what he was saying because the cameraman that was shooting it, his audio wasn't picking up what Alex was saying. But Alex went on his show today and made a big deal about how he was down there and all this and that. What's really funny is I'd like to see the camera angles that Alex took of the shot, because the guy that we were watching him off to the left, right? And there was like people behind him, you know, Owen was like down in a beer and yelling and all this shit. Dude, it was literally a circus. And they never actually got into a fight except for the part where the guy stabbed a guy in the face. A couple of people got beat up. And then as they were walking away, this guy's filming everything, right? And you can hear the audio of other people. You can't see him in the camera. But I hear the audio. I hear this one guy goes, "Yeah, you send two of our guys to the hospital, and we're going to send 10 of your guys to the morgue." And I'm sitting here, and this is just some dude walking down the street. I'm thinking to myself, man, this sounds like dialogue. I mean, it sounds like somebody wrote this. I mean, it sounds like somebody wrote this shit.
Want to take on Capone? It's Sean Connery in The Untouchables. He sends one of yours to the hospital. You send two of his to the morgue. You're right. It is dialogue. It's David Mamet. It's dialogue.
Jesus, man. And, you know, here's what happened. So eventually they came upon some people of color. And what was going on with
I don't even want to hear this. What happened, man?
So these were four or five ladies walking down the street. And two of them had yellow jackets on. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because the Proud Boys appeared to be wearing yellow, like that was their color.
Yeah.
So these people were wearing these yellow coats. And at first it didn't seem like there was anything going on. And then all of a sudden there started to be this yelling going on. And then they all of a sudden started calling these ladies hoes and all this shit. And they were all these dudes came over and they're all yelling and like, the cops were like trying to protect them, you know, trying to protect the ladies. And of course, you know, black women, they'll fucking start yelling, man. They don't give a shit, you know.
Whoa, hey, whoa.
Sorry.
I've been chastised for my language quite a bit on this network. I can't be.
But anyway, man, it was just an unbelievable scene. And it looked like that's what they were looking for, like waiting to just come upon somebody that was looking to give them some trouble so they could all just jump in there and beat them up. And it was it was just all overall. I mean, just watching the thing, there's no way that I would ever align myself with any group like that or those people. Regardless of what's going on, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't see how you could, but I guess if you can make it so, Giuliani's a good guy. All of a sudden, and you know, all these other people that are all of a sudden good guys because they're, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? If you can do that, I guess you can do the other thing. You know, you can make it okay. I don't know.
It's just a very sad state that everything has come to. A lot of work's being done on America, folks, specifically America. A lot of mental programming, a lot of psyops, a lot of what would come out of the Book of Warfare. Michael Aquino left with the Department of Defense of the United States. You guys are being worked on, man. There's a million voodoo dolls out there, I'll tell you right now. And, you know, I don't see any way out of this, Jimmy. I don't. I don't see how Biden could take office. You know, or maybe, God help me, this just popped into my head. Maybe they're going to burn him. Maybe he's taken one for the team, that him and his kid are going to get dragged through the mud. He's going to get charged. He's going to resign. He's already said that in an interview, that if he ever disagrees with his black Nubian princess vice president, he'll come down with the disease and resign. He said that like 2 weeks ago, right? So, I mean, clearly the Democrat Party, including its present leader, Joe Biden, have been trained to believe Kamala Harris is running things. Because he's not that considerate.
Well, man, all I know is for 8 years, people talked about the birth certificate. For the next 4 years, if Biden becomes president, we'll be talking about how the election was stolen.
You know what? I can't even remember which were the conservative publications. Like, remember when there was a clear line, like the Bill Clinton impeachment? You knew who the left was, you knew who the right was. Both sides had major daily newspapers on their side. The entire establishment ganged up on Trump. I don't even remember who are the newspapers that are going to give Biden a hard time. What is the Wall Street Journal right wing, right? So what you're going to have, the first people who are going to turn on Biden will be the financial reporters. Because if he's going to fall into this globalist reset plan, immediately what he's going to do is start spending money like it's the end of the world, like it doesn't matter. Okay? And the financial people are going to go, because nobody's been formally told a great reset is coming. You know, and there's another curious thing, you know, going into what I've been covering for the last week and a half or 2 weeks on the morning show. You know, if you say we're in the midst of a great reset, people now call you a conspiracy theorist. It's like everything we've been saying, new world order, globalization. Look, why do I even care? Maybe the world will be better off under global infrastructure. Why do I even care? What I've noticed, Jimmy, is that the more power slips away from people and goes up a totem pole, the crappier life gets for people. So when municipalities and sheriffs had their power taken away 7-8 decades ago and it was kicked up to the state, we lost something. When the states got raped and it was kicked up to Washington, we lost something again. Now Washington is going to be kicking up to an international organization. So basically, the way the financial system works with the IMF, the World Bank, and all of these institutions, it's the same way politics is going to work now. We're going to have an international political body with these wing nuts coming out of nowhere, like Klaus Schwab in his Andromedan formalware, and telling us how the world is going to be. Bad human, bad human. And you just take one look at that dude, and you know he's been in some, you know, funky red lit rooms with some weird shit going on. Crazy German that he is. Yeah. I'm sure he's no stranger to the Berlin swinger scene.
I'm sure he's not. Well, you know, we're coming up on the break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after a few station announcements. And I got a great little piece of audio for you when we come back.
Fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
A time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We'll be right back.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Three other individuals. One of them was a male, and the other two, well, the other two were females. God only knows what they were up to in there. And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to learn that all four of them habitually smoke marijuana cigarettes.
My name's Jimmy.
Reefers.
It's Revolution Radio.
I smoke two joints in the morning. I smoke two joints at night. I smoke two joints in the afternoon. It makes me feel alright. I smoke two joints in time of peace and two in time of war. I smoke two joints before I smoke two joints and then I smoke two more.
That's right. I'm sitting here with Bruce McDonald from McDonald in the Morning. Every morning right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 7 a.m. Pacific time to 9 Pacific, and it's almost 4:20. So I figured I would smoke two joints in the morning with Sublime right there. I got a really great piece of audio that I want you to hear. So I just want to recall, do you remember, Bruce, back during the debates, there was a lot of talk in the conspiracy bubble about earpieces and, you know, computers and all this stuff making Joe Biden talk? Remember that?
I do.
Okay, well, wait till you guys hear this. Now, this is a 31-second clip, okay? So I'm going to let it play a couple of times for everybody so I can make sure everybody hears it good, okay? So this is Obama in an interview, okay? And so here we go.
What you know now, do you wish, like, you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony. Wow. I'd be fine with that. And what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony. Wow.
You should see how proud he is when he's pretending he's got a microphone in his hand and he's in his sweats and he says, and I could deliver the lines. He's got a big smile on his face, you know, and the camera cuts to the other dude who's interviewing him. He's like, he's got a smile on his face and he's shaking his head. Yes. What do you think, Bruce?
They love it. So this is what I call one of the Bruce McDonald gems, right, for understanding the world you live in. Very often these people will tell the truth, but what they'll do is they'll misalign the details and the context. So the context here is him fantasizing, but he's actually telling the truth, right? This is what, you know, he probably did. He probably was talking to Joe Biden during the debates. Because that was no Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden is the stuttering, muttering moron, right? Well, look, I don't want to be too hard on the guy, okay? He's a human being. If he has Alzheimer's, you know, God bless him. Evil man, but I don't judge souls. You know, not my job, man, right? My job, if I'm to live the creed, is to love everybody, no matter how vile they are. Not to aid them in their vileness, but to never give up on loving them. So, hey, there's Joe, right? No way, man. There's no way he's dropping those lines. He did really well in those debates. And
what's funny to me about something like this is immediately when I hear somebody like this saying something like that, immediately I go, well, how do I know no one's doing that to you?
Yeah.
How do I know there's no one in the back room right now for you, dude? Because it's the same thing. It's like when you notice something about something else, that you turn around and look around yourself, and you find out a lot of times you're caught up in it yourself. You don't even realize it. You know, that's what's so, how much smoke and mirrors there are going on with what's happening right now. And nobody knows. It's literally, I kind of described it the other day as like a whiteout. It's like whiteout, man. You know, it's like there is so much shit going on. Meanwhile, you know, hey, I stick needles in arms. I mean, that's what we do. So, I mean, these guys are all moving into position to stick needles in arms. That's how it appears. But is that a dual purpose operation? Are they putting people in place because they expecting something else to happen? Well, now we know. There won't be the immediate political unrest of Trump being declared winner through the election process. So we know that nothing's going to happen now necessarily like it would have happened if Trump would have today been declared the winner. Our cities would already be burning at this point.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
What do you think, Bruce? What do we have to look forward to in the next week or in the next 14 days? Because Saturday,
I don't know what it will be, but I do believe something will come forward, and it will be convincing. Like, nobody will be able to deny it. They'll hate it, but it will be convincing. Look, I think there's a bunch of people out there too who really don't even care. Like, you know, if Biden and these people are as vile as we say they are, they just don't care, right? They, such is their contempt for Donald Trump. And look, if you were going to, let's call Donald Trump a military operation, okay? Because that's the backroom chatter, is that military people knew what was going on 20 years ahead of us. They set a plan up and they intercepted the timeline in 2016. And gracias, Memo. And they got, I just got some fresh coffee here. And they got Donald J. Trump in. Well, you know, what was their mission plan, right? I mean, first of all, let's do a post-mortem on the Trump presidency. Man, I think he did a fantastic job, man. He put all kinds of numbers on the board for good jobs. He completely invigorated the domestic oil and gas industry. Which, look, it's a dirty business, right? It's true enough. It's not just about climate change, but all you got to do is look at an aerial photograph of the tar pits in Alberta and look at what's been done to what is – you want to know what Alberta is, like left untouched and unmined? It's Montana forever. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world. And they've torn it all up, doing this what do they call that? Tar sand oil, right? There's an extraction process they do. So, look, but he did revitalize the economy. Very little blood on his hands. For a guy who a lot of people, including myself, were saying might be an Israeli stooge, he didn't attack Iran. He pulled all the troops out of the Middle East. I mean, this is the most peaceful 4 years of American presidency that we've had since 1989, man. You go through every president from George Bush Sr., and then you roll right into Clinton. And, dude, it's a blood fest, man. These guys are killing like Caligula, right? They're just like a Roman emperor who's never been a soldier himself, doesn't understand the concept of killing. It's been 30 years of the killing fields in American foreign policy. Donald Trump, the big bad monster, comes in and he stops killing people. Look, man, I don't care what spin you put on this guy. That's human. That's human. Now you watch what else attends the Biden presidency. Immediately, we're going to see military action, and not where it should be, right? It'll be over back on this whole Iran thing there, right? So I don't know what to make of this world, dude. I really don't. You know, I do not know what to make of it. And I'm sorry that these people got away with it. I'm sorry that Hillary Clinton. But on another level, Jimmy, I'm just going to say this out loud and unburden myself. I'm kind of glad it's over. You could get an ulcer thinking about this crap, the Trump presidency and everything. When is he going to arrest all these people? Look, the guy had his shot and he didn't do it. He didn't do it. Right? You know, and he just sort of ambled about in the White House for 4 years. And, I don't know. Look, I'm not going to say
he's like the Teflon Don, man. Nothing stuck on him. He made it through the whole thing. But at the same time, he has that to fall back on as an excuse. His excuse that his presidency is one long excuse. Okay. It's all everything is because somebody else did something. Somebody's doing something to me. Somebody's stealing my election. Somebody's, you know, they're trying to stop me from doing what I said I was going to do. You know, they're trying to stop the wall. They're, you know, I mean, what happened? Who was trying to stop him arresting people that were doing wrong things? Was there anybody? I don't think so. I don't remember anybody coming forward and giving him a bunch of problems for trying to arrest people for doing bad things. I just hear excuses because there's nothing that could have been done. And see, this is the perfect way out. This is how they all get away with it. This is how it gets away with. And the reason that they're getting away with even more when Trump is in office is because everybody went to sleep because their guy was in office. And they figured he had their back. He's got my back. Yeah. Well, he don't have your back because it's not him. There's a whole government that exists outside what we call the government. These other people are just they're people, they're front people. The other people are there when the administration comes and goes, the other people are still there. They're in 30, 40, 50 years they've been in the same position, pushing paperwork in a matrix that nobody understands.
I do. born and raised in a national capital. Nobody understands the federal bureaucrat better than Bruce McDonald at Revolution Radio, I assure you. Maybe Giuseppe, he lives in the District of Criminals. But I'm not sure if he was born and raised there to a civil service family. But yeah, I mean, the civil service has extraordinary power. In candidates, the deputy directors of the various ministries, the highest non-elected positions, right? So you have the minister and you have deputy minister. Deputy minister is climbing the ladder inside the ministry as a civil servant, and the minister is the cabinet position given by the prime minister. It's unbelievable how powerful these people are. Well, it's almost like it doesn't matter who's in office, like who the prime minister or president is. You could almost do without them now, and everything would just keep running.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just turn the teleprompters around and let us read it ourselves. We don't need the dummies to go up there and read the scripts. You know, the thing about it is, man, is like, we're just being floated around here back and forth, like in the wind. We have nothing. Everybody, we got nothing. If you think that the news that goes on in the alternative media is anything that's going to drive anything, it's not. So we have absolutely nothing, except we spent like 4 years talking about a bunch of stuff that never happened.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So you know what? And Tammy Harris, Camel Toe Harris are going to bring right. Get ready for it. I'd say within 6 months you're going to have a carbon tax in the United States. They're going to be adding 15-20% to the price of a gallon of gas in the United States. And the carbon tax sits upon the excise taxes that are already on the gasoline. So you're taxing tax, right? And I don't know how this feeds into the Great Reset. Why am I saying this? Because, you know, Canada just announced its new carbon tax to increase $170 per ton by 2030 as the Liberals unveil a new and more, even more aggressive climate plan in Canada. So, you know, get ready for it. Get ready for it. Get ready for all the nonsense. I mean, get ready for it. You know, it's gonna be a shit show. It's gonna be a shit show. It's gonna get to the point where you're gonna be working like 2/3 of a year you work will be just to pay the government, and the final third of your year working will be what you put in your pocket. That's what it's gonna get like, right?
Well, I think it's going to get what it's going to get like is there's going to be two groups of people, the people who will and the refusers. And if you're on the refuser side, then you're not going to be able to partake in the same luxuries that everybody else can do. Because, I mean, they've been using these apps regarding the, you know, current situation with COVID. They've been using these apps over in South Korea for a while and also in China, and now they're coming here, and you're going to have to scan in and all this other shit. So eventually what's going to happen is if you're a refuser, you're somebody that doesn't wear a mask or whatever, they're just going to come up and taser you. We got a refuser. They'll just taser you to the ground, yeah. Man, throw you out. It's going to be the end of it. They're not going to play that game. They're not going to play at all, and they're going to start making examples of people, you know, and they're going to start. Yeah. You know, and it's going to be like, hey, man, you better do what you're told or else they'll throw some tie wraps around your ass and throw you in the back of a white van and send you down to the FEMA camp. You know what I mean? That's how it goes down, man. They don't play games. So they're going to, you know, it's just like the mafia. You know, you owe money and you don't pay big bill. You know, you're going to get your legs broken. And why? Because not because necessarily they like breaking legs, but maybe they do. But it's mostly so when you walk around on your crutches, it's like a big advertisement that says, no, man, you don't mess. You make sure you pay up. And maybe it's time a homeboy has to pay up. You know, some friends of my family come from Armenia, and so they're familiar with Trump's wife over there. Like, they pay attention to all that. And so there's a whole different idea about Trump around the world that we're not even aware of. There's a whole aspect to Trump that we don't even know about in America for the most part. So
what are you alluding to there? I'm not following.
No, there's, you know, apparently there really is some validity to, you know, his involvement with Russian mafia, you know, and helping. And helping laundering money and all that. But I mean, it's just like any other country, you know, what they talk about politically is different than what we talk about here. You know, to them, that's just common, you know, to them in another country, paying somebody off or paying some money or whatever, that's just normal. What goes on? So we're in America, we're under the impression that our thing is something different than it is anywhere else, or that this time the election is different than it's ever been before. Like no other election. Yeah. I mean, I got news for everybody. Sorry, but every single election has been just like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it ain't all about us in North America, right? Elections can usually have thousands. Down here where I live in Central America, an election can be a touchy issue, let me tell you. Very touchy, right? So, you know, they can get, you know, the general, what I find most disturbing about what I see going on in front of me, Jimmy, is the lack of civility in North America, right? It's just getting to, I don't know, maybe it's always been there, right? This this violence just underneath the surface. But it just, the way it's all bubbling up now and how crazy it's getting, I mean, this is third world crap, right? This is some third world crap, man. But I don't know what America's going to be. Hey, how much longer do you think you can hold out? Are you, like every other Californian, when are you moving to Austin, Texas?
I've been to Austin, Texas. I didn't like it. So okay. I'm where I'm going to be. So let's just say things are, they've moved forward like they appear to be. Let's just take it at face value. Biden is president-elect. He's going to be president January 20th. So I live in California. So nothing's going to change for me if Biden's president. You know what I mean? Just like nothing changed for me when Trump was president. When Trump was president, you know what he said when the fires were burning out here? He said, "Oh, that's because you don't go out. You don't clean your brush. That's why. That's because you don't clean up your brush. You know, you should be cleaning your forest, your brush. It's irresponsible."
Yeah, he did.
He's like, you know, I'm just saying, you know, when Obama was president for those 8 years, down the 5 freeway in California were some of the oldest orchards in the state. Nuts, all this different stuff. And the Obama administration got this minnow declared an endangered species, and they cut the water off down this corridor, which was a really fertile area for growing these nuts and all this. And all those orchards and those 100-year orchards are gone. And there's oil fields a little further on down the freeway, and there's a giant Harris Ranch slaughterhouse. When you drive by, there's like cows, you know, getting ready to become steaks. But you know, it's just like that. You know, when whoever's in office, they do some. Guess what? Guess which direction all those orchards and farms voted.
Don't know.
They were not. They were conservatives. All conservative farms wiped out.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, so the people, you know, none of these guys are doing anything for us really on the street. I mean, like I was saying earlier, you have people complaining, you know, they don't like the idea of a living wage because it costs too much money for business owners. How many of those people that complain about that are even business owners? How much profit do you have to make? So when I was a business owner, okay, I would charge whatever my guy was making. I would make at least that much. So if my guy was making $45 an hour, I'd charge him out retail at $90 an hour. So I make $45. Isn't that enough? That was enough for me. It was enough for me. But the thing is, it's never enough. And so, look, okay, so let's come to terms with the reality of the situation. Can you go have a job that you have 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, and afford to live your life in a comfortable way on the money that you make? And if the answer is no, then then something's out of whack. So then you either got to drop the prices of how much it costs me to live, or you got to raise how much money I get paid every hour. So people got a problem with paying a living wage. Like, that's something if you're on the right that you should be upset about or worried about. No. Because how are you surviving? You're going to sit there and say, no living wages while you're living in a box? How are you going to live?
Yeah.
Listen, where I live, this is no joke. Where I live, it takes two people making $60 an hour to live in a proper way.
Yeah, I don't doubt that for a second, man. It's really expensive now to live. Even where I live in Costa Rica, it can get a bit expensive depending on what you're buying, right? But hey, just before we go listen to Biden, which is happening right after the bottom of the hour break, can I tell about my first mud ride on my quad?
Definitely, man. Definitely. We got two.
So I bought a Yamaha Blaster, folks, man. An eight, what you call an all-terrain vehicle, what we call un cuadriciclo over here in Costa Rica. And I took it up what I suppose you could call it a road, but there's parts of it you can't even get a motorcycle past. And the natives just walk it. But I went way deep in there today on my ATV thing, man. And what they don't tell you about those things, when you go through a bog or a mud patch that is like 10 meters long, like you get through it no problem, right? But there's no fenders on that thing. You come out caked with mud like Sylvester Stallone coming out of the forest wall in Rambo. You're just covered in mud, man. But it's an unbelievable blast, these machines. Now, I didn't buy a toy, obviously. It's extremely practical on the mountain. It'll be the fastest thing to get somebody down the mountain if they get bit by a snake, because time is critical when you get bit by a snake. You got about 2 or 3 hours to get all your injections and everything. If everything goes right, you can have them in 50 minutes. But, you know, so that's my story. A little bit of fun in the world, Jimmy. A little bit of lightening it up, you know. So.
Yeah.
There you
go. You know, that's what really matters, because, I mean, seriously, if you turned off your TV, you turned off your computer, and you turned off your phone, it's dead silent, man. It's nothing but crickets, you know? Say, speaking of crickets, I haven't seen anybody going.
Hey, do you know the dude guy?
No, I don't.
He'd like to call in. I highly recommend you take his call.
Yeah,
he's epic journeyman quality people in terms of information and research.
Yeah, now I've heard him on a couple of roundtables. So yeah, if you have him as a contact, just we can as soon as the break comes, we can add him, and then we'll be waiting for that thing to go live. So like I was saying, speaking of crickets, ladies and gentlemen, don't let there be crickets over there on the freedomslip.com Patreon page. Come on down, become a patron, step on into the Zazzle store. Get yourself some items, you know, that helps support. And also, if you want to just give us an old snail mail, mosey on down to the bottom of the page, you'll find Lady Horse, and you'll find her address, and she will be happy to receive some mail. Everybody likes when the eagle flies those Federal Reserve notes down to the station, because we really could use your help. End of the year, taxes coming up. You know, everybody's got to get their chunk.
Book a big split pop, some good sense of media. Book a big split pop, some good sense of media. Easy in for you ever call shit. Hell no!
Daddy, he was told me, son, you be hard work.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Jimmy. Hey, man. Nice shot. It's Revolution Radio, Into the Microcosm, the final 30 minutes. More show than we have time to get into. I'm sitting here with Bruce McDonald, the host of McDonald in the Morning. Stop on by, check on in, grab yourself a cup of Joe, sit on down and find out. Tune in, turn on, and find out every morning right here with Bruce McDonald. Bruce McDonald, are you there?
I am, yeah. Hey, listen, I just wanted to add as well. Hang on a sec. It appears as though Trump has pardoned Julian Assange. So that kind of makes me feel a bit better. Not much, but a bit better.
Well, I would double check that. I saw that earlier today, and somebody was saying that it didn't look like it might have panned out correctly. So I don't know. I'm not sure on that. I heard it earlier. So hopefully I would hope that that would be great. That's somebody who definitely would deserve a pardon. We also have a new caller here. And nice to meet you. Do you guys come on in and join the conversation here with Bruce McDonald? And my name is Jimmy, and I've never met you before. So nice to meet you, dude guy. And come on in. So, we're talking about some of what's going on and some potentialities and different ways, different philosophical ways that we might be able to look at some of this stuff.
Thank you, Jimmy. Yeah, I think you guys are doing a fine job. And I think it's a time for us to really reflect upon what has happened and what we can do going forward. I hope at the least this has got a lot of people to really consider the effect that our political system and our lack of involvement in it can have on our lives. Because I think it's going to have a big impact on us, you know. And I wish I could have done more. I have seen this coming for a long time. There's still a element of surrealness to it. I had hoped we could prevent it. But this really is like if Biden gets in, this really is the beginning of the new world order. I mean, I hate to use that term, but that's basically everyone knows that term, so that's why I use it. And basically it is. I mean, it's you're going to have the carbon taxes. You're going to have the global government rolling out, our economy is going to be declining even more sharply because the currency is going to really become devalued from all this spending, and they're not going to prop it up like they used to. And then we're going to hit the Great Reset in the fall, like the big time. You know, that's when they're going to shove us all into electronic currency and try to get rid of cash.
That's when they're – I mean, the whole plan to erase the derivatives through the Great Reset and move it into the digital currency is definitely the plan. You know, and I mean, you can see that, you know, in a lot of ways we're being corralled down these chutes to accept certain things. Now we're being shown how our electronic voting system is there's so much fraud that – you know, we're going to be crying and demanding for our own positive identification from now on to vote. And the same identification that will be necessary for the vaccination will also be your same vaccination ID that you have when you go vote. It'll be that secure quantum blockchain identification. That's where we're moving to. But, you know, in the meantime, though, dude guy, you know, what we got going on here is we have everybody being inflamed to a point where it's a lot easier to have the American people square off against each other and use up all their ammunition, bullets, and will to fight, and then just have somebody come on in and mop it up. So if they're talking about carbon taxes, they're also in the same breath going to be talking about carbon credits. And so these carbon credits may be the basis for this universal income that they're talking about in the future, because not everybody in the future is going to be being taxed on their carbon, but they'll actually be getting paid for not using it and selling it with – you remember the operation there on the Chicago Commodities Exchange?
Right.
Blood and Gore. Remember that company? Blood and Gore. Yeah. I think Blood and Gore, there may be a resurrection of Blood and Gore right now coming up. What do you think?
Oh, that's definitely the plan. It's basically the carbon credits and the carbon taxes are going to be a revenue stream that can be, you know, big giant slush fund for the government to handle social affairs, and then all the carbon based securities, which there will be plenty, will be the new derivatives. You know, they'll just start speculating all that, because what they will have is a guaranteed income stream, and then they'll just speculate against that and leverage against it. And so they're going to lose their derivatives, but they're going to get these carbon based bonds and securities and stuff that they'll play with and just skim off all of our striving to, you know, walk to work today instead of driving our car so we get a credit. And then I'll spend my carbon credit by, taking a vacation, you know, whatever.
This is what causes citizenship of a country. And this is why countries exist and borders exist, is because the tax revenue generated by the citizenry of a country is extrapolated through their life to come up with a dollar amount, and that's sold off in derivatives. And so these taxes that are made by countries are the reason that there's borders. So the whole move to the New World Order can only happen if there's a way to tax individuals without borders, to have that money going into a pool that exists. And so if you see the carbon credit, carbon tax slash system going in, you're moments away from the Great Reset and a world where there is no borders and you can go anywhere you want.
Yeah, but you won't be allowed to go there for other reasons. You can get rid of borders, but you can't get rid of, you know, rules. It'll all be environmental-based rules. Just like it's going to be a form of neo-feudalism, just like in Europe, where most peasants could never leave their town. And most of them couldn't afford to. But even the ones that could didn't have enough knowledge of you know, cultural customs and different, you know, why would they even go there? They would have no means of supporting themselves. They weren't welcome. I mean, the whole thing's going to be set up where you basically don't go outside of like a 30-mile radius, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is why would you want to? You don't need to, because everything you're going to want is going to be right in your little bubble city right there, right in your little smart sector. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to live
in your, I don't know about that. They're going to create short artificial scarcity for.
Well, yeah, you're going to be living in a 4-foot tube with a common.
they're going to be letting in refugees as needed. It's all about shaping
refugees. That's what I'm saying. Those refugees will have a carbon tax value. And so those refugees coming over the border, there will be no border. So there'll be plenty of people. You know, the average age of a construction worker is 45 years old. Where do you think rebuilding the infrastructure in America, where do you think they're going to come up with all these construction workers, man? Let's check out what he has to say. Let's go see what Biden has to say. Okay. Because listen, the borders, I mean, it's going to be all electronic, dude. Everybody's going to have their ID. They'll know exactly where you are everywhere you go. If you came into my country for 3 months to work and I want you to get out, I know exactly where you are. I mean, you could even turn it into a business, man. Charge people like $5,000 to come in. All right, let's check this out.
Hello, my fellow Americans. And the people who brought me the dance, Delawareans. I see my buddy, Senator Tom Carper down there, and I think Senator Coons is there, and I think the governor's around. Is that Ruth Ann?
Senator Coons? I didn't know there was a Senator Coons.
Oh, yeah, that's the... His daughter is one of the ones he was accused of being a lecher or whatever, you know.
Let me see if I can get through all the hellos. Let me get past crop. Okay, here we go.
Tonight, we're seeing all over this nation, all cities and all parts of the country, indeed across the world, an outpouring of joy, of hope, renewed faith in tomorrow, bring a better day. And I'm humbled by the trust and confidence you placed in me. I pledge to be a president who seeks not to divide, but unify. Who doesn't see red states and blue states, only sees the United States. And work with all my heart, with the confidence of the whole people, to win the confidence of all of you. And for that, is what America, I believe, is about. It's about people. And that's what our administration will be all about. I sought this office to restore the soul of America, to rebuild the backbone of this nation, the middle class, and to make America respected around.
He started this campaign. I didn't hear one single peep out of this dude as far as a campaign is concerned. So there absolutely is no Joe Biden platform per se. And he says seeking to bring people together, yet he's dividing people by race, by entertaining strictly racial conversation in public. So you guys want to jump in here for a second, guy, and then I'm going to keep going.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. Identity politics is how the Democrats manage their, they're basically cut off the having an actual philosophy, like you said, a platform. They're managing it by a reward system based on race, which keeps people from understanding class-based dynamics, which is what the Democratic Party used to be concerned with.
That's what the fight is really all about. And so the thing is the worst thing that could happen is have people realize that it was a class issue and not a race issue. Because it's about the haves and the have-nots in this situation, because the have-nots are in a position with the money they have to buy influence and to use technology from the behavior modification complex directly against us, to the point where we have no cognitive liberty. We're all in our own filter bubbles. We're automatons like rats in a maze, in a cage. You know, just like the rat that got a bunch of – they gave a rat a pack of cigarettes and a bunch of Coke. And it sat there and watched porn until it died. You know what I mean? That's where we're at. You know, we're in the behavior modification complex zone. We're all in these filter bubbles, and even the dudes who think we're not in a filter bubble is a filter bubble. Nobody is immune to what's going on. Every one of us, in our own way, has been cognitively infiltrated by the media and the social media that's out there. Whatever, wherever you find your news, whatever the point of the story is coming from a perspective or a specific viewpoint.
Well, let's put one point on it. There's an overarching narrative that I think is true that has to do with the Great Reset and the financial system, that, you know, they need to reset everything because this system is played out. And so everything that they're doing is to distract from that fact. So they don't want to take the blame for the economic difficulties that are going to be caused by resetting everything. And so they have to justify the redistribution of all this wealth, the destruction of all this wealth, the reorganization of our society. They have to have, you know, bad guys and good guys. They have to have saviors and sinners. And so they're creating this whole landscape to justify extreme actions in the future.
Yeah. Well, I think the extreme actions are just, you know, around the corner, because I'm telling you, I watched this, I went into it a little bit about watching this protest, and, you know, for the most part, I'm generalizing, okay, but for the most part, right-wing or Republican-style people don't go in the streets and protest, because normally what's being protested about is typically, if there's a war going on, it's the left protesting against the right about the war. If there's a war going on, there's not like a big group of right people on the right that are protesting the war. They're typically on the side of the people that want the war. So there's a big distinction between these groups as far as their public protesting something that they don't agree with. And so we're in new territory. So now, is the right going to start acting like the left, in the sense that, are they going to be frustrated and act out in frustration against cities and people for whatever reason, or is it going to be different? That's the key moving into the future. And I just think we've all been whipped into this left or right paradigm, to the point where, you know, people are ready to fight and they don't even know really what they're fighting for.
The thing is, this Trump dynamic was not your traditional right wing. A lot of people that voted for Trump voted for him because they didn't want wars. They were against him getting involved in Syria. They kind of forced him to not do more there. They didn't want him, you know, they wanted him to pull out the troops from Afghanistan. A lot of the veterans that are in the Trump movement are people that have been a lot of these unjust Iraq war and stuff, and they've seen all the suffering and they don't want it anymore. And so you had this split between the hawks in the Trump administration, like John Bolton, who always want war, and he was also a George W. Bush person, and then those generals that backed him, like Milley and stuff, and then and Mattis, and then you had Trump's advisors who didn't want war, and even Jared Kushner went, and, you know, he's the one that's behind some of these peace deals, and even though I don't like all things Jared Kushner does, you know, he's doing peace deals for whatever reason. So, I mean, I think Trump is more of a populist than the traditional Republican, and that's why the traditional Republicans don't like him. That's why, you know, Jeb Bush doesn't like him, Mitt Romney doesn't like him, a lot of the right-wing media doesn't like him. And so, you know, that's why a lot of people that aren't really Republicans voted for him and are sad to see him go, because it isn't the traditional right-left split. We finally got something a little different. I wouldn't say it was completely different, but it was – I mean, look, I have to say Trump was way better than George W. Bush. Way better.
It's different in the sense that Trump is a different person, but it's not really all that different. I mean,
well, you're fighting against a deep state that you just – it's what's been revealed. I think the biggest thing that's been revealed is the president isn't as powerful as we think. They let him appear to have the power, but if he doesn't really do what he's told, you can't change much.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. That's one of the big reveals of the Trump presidency. You know what I can't get off my mind right now, guys? And it's so silly. It's so petty. But here it is. Is Hillary Clinton going to get a cabinet position? I mean, if they bring back the Dragon Queen, I swear to God, we're in a time warp.
And, think about her becoming the vice president.
Oh, my God. So, we're the Biden gone scenario. How does that work legally? Kamala Harris can appoint her vice president?
Just like Spiro Agnew. Yeah. So I think it could happen. Plus, there's a lead story that Hillary Clinton was one of Biden's electors. She cast her electoral vote and then immediately called for the abolishment of the Electoral College.
Okay, fair enough. She could be vice president or she could be given another cabinet position. They might give her Secretary of State again. I don't know. But,
I don't think so, but I would think vice president. That'd be a promotion, she'd finally get in the White House one way or the other.
Yeah. Hey, where does the vice president live?
The Naval Observatory Mansion that's about a couple miles away from the White House. Yeah. Huh. There's a – on the Naval – property of the Naval Observatory grounds, there's a mansion, and that's where it is.
Okay. Yeah, I did not know that. Okay, so they're neighbors. All right. Well, we're winding up here. Final thoughts there, Jimmy. What do we make of this day, this Monday, December 14th?
Well, it looks like Biden is going to be president of the United States unless military action is taken to stop it or insurrection. So Trump said if he was found to have lost the election through the delegates that he would come out and concede. So I haven't seen him concede. So we can only wonder. I know Saturn is lining up. December 21st is coming up. Maybe there's going to be a calling for the Saturnalian brotherhood between now and then. I don't know. I do know this, though. This might be 2012. What we thought was 2012 this year might actually be that date if you use a different calendar.
I've heard that.
You've got Bethlehem in the sky, the Star of Bethlehem, for the first time in 800 years. This coming up here, I think it might be in the sky now. So it's an interesting time to be alive. We didn't even get into 30 seconds of Joe Biden's speech, and that was mostly because we can't sit here for 16 minutes. I can't even stand listening to 3 minutes of it. But I'll go check it out, myself here and not have to drag everybody through that. But and I suggest everybody check it out. I don't think it's going to be what it's being painted to be if Biden ends up taking office on January 20th. Like you said, I don't think it's going to be the end of America. I think it's going to be 4 years of somebody in a position that we just said has no power. Everybody just came and said that there is no power to the president. So I don't see there's much to fear from Joe Biden, especially if things move forward and the majorities are held. If the majorities hold, not much is going to get past the Senate. And so we'll see.
Yeah.
Unless we'll see what happens anyway.
Here's a question. How much damage could Biden do in 4 years? Is it possible to rescind agreements once a sitting president has made them? So if Joe Biden signs the Paris Climate Agreement, can another leader come in 4 years and take us out of it, or is that just not done?
Peace treaties can be turned into war, so anything can be undone. I mean, it would just be. Assuming we gave up our sovereignty, so as long as we have our sovereignty as a nation, you can undo anything.
Well, I think it'd be a perfect opportunity 4 years from now for Donald Trump Jr. to come out and run and win and be in office for 8 years. So we'll see. I mean, but that won't happen if Trump declares martial law. That's for sure. Or if Trump declares insurrection. There's no the Trump will. I mean, he'll play exactly into the idea that the left has put forward that he wanted to do all along. And so he's on a catch 22 situation. So it's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks. I'm not looking for. I want this to be over with one way or the other. Let's figure out what's happening and then go from there. Because the speculation, this has been going on for 4 years, man. You know, the speculating and the waiting for stuff to materialize tomorrow and the big biblical crack and drop tomorrow and all this stuff, man. Tomorrow
well,
is not.
Let me say one thing. I think part of the problem was the country was so messed up by Obama, especially the military. They had to spend a bunch of money just so we actually had a military. I mean, it was being completely degraded. So, I mean, it's part of folding us into the global government and stuff is just to they got to get us more dependent on the world system in various ways. That's why they're integrating a lot of our weapon systems with foreign manufacturers, especially the Chinese, Europeans, so we don't build everything just in this country anymore. You know, it's to me, it's bad. You know, I think global government's bad. Global currencies are bad. You're just putting in the hands of a few mandarins the power of complete domination. But, to me, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And it's like we're on a runaway train, like because realistically, as people, all we had was our vote. And if we've just been proven, we've just gone and proven that it doesn't even, you know, we thought it didn't count before, but now we found out
because of technology. Yeah, you got to do it. You got to be a Luddite. You got to count things by paper. You can't let these shadowy, faceless people send the vote to Spain or wherever it goes, or even in a back room. You got to, I mean, this is the power of life and death, the power of prosperity and poverty. You got to guard that. We should have a national holiday on the voting day, and everyone should be just guarding the thing until it's completely done. They should be reporting it as they're counting it. We should always, in every election, suspect it's going to be stolen. You shouldn't be expecting it to be okay. You should be expecting, hey, somebody, this is like the bank money in the bank vault. Somebody wants it.
Blue thumbs, just like in Iraq, dude. Blue thumbs. Everybody's got a blue thumb.
Yeah.
Blue thumbs, man. Yeah, blue thumbs.
You better plug the station in the last 30 seconds here, Jimmy.
Freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Come on down. Become a patron. We'd really appreciate it. Without you, we do not exist. You don't want to tune in and find out there's nothing here. You don't want to tune in and find dead air. You don't want to have that. Please come on down. Help us out. Become a patron. Go to the Zazzle store. Get yourself some goods. Part of that goes to help support the station. And then, of course, you can head on down to the bottom of the page and send Lady Horse a snail mail. Thanks for joining us, Dew Guy. Thanks, Bruce. Thanks, Revolution Radio. We'll see you guys on the next time, Friday night, and I'll see you on Friday morning, Bruce. Take care, everybody.
Revolution.